Well, hey, welcome to another week of Cambridge Inside Out, the one and only Cambridge Inside Out.
Yes, Judy Nathans.
Actually, it's not the one and only. I mean, we're just...
No, there was the original.
Yeah, yeah.
And there
we're just the sequel.
Yeah.
We are the sequel.
We are the sequel.
That's right. The sequel of the sequel.
The sequel of the sequel.
Right.
We're not a prequel. We're a sequel.
That's right.
We'd have to go back in time to be a prequel.
So today is October 30th.
And thank goodness there's no Red Sox game tonight.
Right, and
started
tomorrow,
all last week ago.
I heard they're having a duck boat parade tomorrow in honor of Halloween, is it?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right?
11 to 2, and go on the website. Boston has the... I think it starts at Fenway, starts at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Goes down that little whatever street that gets to Boylston, where it meets Boylston, and then it continues to Staniford Street. So
right.
In front of City Hall Plaza, but there's no rally.
That's
so,
what they said
so
at the end.
Just
is it's just the parade, and then when it ends, it just disappears.
It's not like Papelbon doing his dance
on
top of the duck boat.
Right, the driver of the duck boat just puts the pedal to the metal and takes off at 70.
Wait.
See you later, folks.
2013, he was the closer, right, Papelbon?
I think that's right, yeah.
Because I remember him, think I was down
there. You should probably just sort of do this right here,
This is from the next day. Priceless. He didn't get the MVP.
I have to say, my admiration for Alex Cora and David Price is without bound at this point.
One for the ages. And that outfield, my God.
I mean, I'm so used to, having followed baseball for, 60 years.
Sure.
There was all these sort of notions about rigid pitching rotations. And sure, there's a little bit of difference in the postseason where you bring in this starter.
Oh, boy, there's a lot.
But this notion that every pitcher must have at least 3 days rest and must do this and that.
Not when you get
to this point. But the rules were just thrown out completely. The fact that David Price started game two, came on, pitched in game three several innings, was warming up and ready to go in game four, and then started game five.
Yes, and won it. It's amazing.
He's
redeemed.
My admiration for David Price is just beyond belief right now.
Yep.
But also for Alex Cora, because he was pulling these strings and doing kind of unusual moves that were working out.
What about Nathan Eovaldi?
Nathan Eovaldi, wasn't that
fabulous? I couldn't watch. My daughter watched it all. 3:30 in the
morning. I made it to the 14th inning.
Really?
And then I bailed out.
Yeah, it's just amazing that he kept them with no runs for 6.5 innings.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's just incredible.
So he's a hero. There's so many heroes.
Right.
I mean, heroes. Small age, I know.
Yeah.
It's baseball, but still.
But it was really a fabulous series.
Yeah.
And I get no flies on the Dodgers. They were good.
They were good. They weren't good enough.
Took them
18 innings to win a game.
I know. and that we couldn't win, right?
Yeah.
So I think they were pretty well matched teams. I just think that we really were
complete.
Overwhelmingly great and complete this year.
Yep.
I always, you always have that fear that the best team of all goes into a short series of 5 games or 7 games, and then just luck of the draw, they get bounced out. It didn't happen, thankfully.
No, I mean, remember, our first 2 World Series wins in this century, whatever, were sweeps.
Yeah.
Colorado and then St. Louis.
Right.
And then we saw St. Louis 2013. I think we won it in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but...
Right. But anyway,
it was very exciting.
It was very exciting, and
I'm sorry it's over in a way, but
yeah.
I'm not sorry.
But there is another sort of odd thing, which is that how, after the 2004, we just couldn't believe it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody was excited and shocked.
Yeah.
At the end of the Yankee series, I think the World Series wasn't really the big
That
one.
Was like it was like.
We just
sleep through.
It was a Yankee series
that was amazing.
It was amazing.
Extra inning games. Talk about late games.
Yeah.
Oh
and,
my God! Coming back
the
after
curse,
3-0. No one's done that.
But the thing is that in the subsequent championships, was it 2007? Was it
2007? Was it the second World Series?
Yeah.
Was it 2013?
2013. And then this year.
And in between you had the Celtics in 08.
Right. I'm not going to say that we're getting used to this.
I know.
But at some level, we're getting used to this.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not the best thing because when you sort of have like an expectation you're supposed to be world champion.
Well, not to put a damper on it, but I think we were the highest paid payrolls, the Dodgers and well, the Yankees are up there, but that's what I've read.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's undeniable. That's a piece of it.
Yeah, money does help, but you know,
but we, you
know,
can
pay a lot for someone. They're not that good sometimes.
But
so,
as I was, I was very heartened to hear the play-by-play announcers pointing out that Red Sox are also a very young team, so they're not
going
anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
You know, so it's like, well, that's pretty good.
Been attending. Yeah, great. No, I just lovable.
I may
lovable
just have to get that cable TV subscription
so that you can see them the regular season. That's right. I think you
wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Or YouTube TV, apparently you can pay for that.
Boy, wouldn't they were advertising that like mad.
You could do that. You could be a cordless person.
I suppose.
Although here we are at CCTV, which does get money from the cable company.
I know.
We should get cable TV.
I know. Should get cable TV.
But anyway.
Anyway, so. I will consider it.
Okay.
I will consider it.
All right.
All right. So let's see. So what's happening here
so
on the
city?
There
was a city council meeting last night.
So we had a city council meeting last night.
Which I thought would be much longer because there were 19 policy orders, a bunch of city manager items. But
right.
It was
yeah, but I don't think that there were any really controversial things. You know, of course, you know, it was always a rule I had about it, which is that short agendas with nothing controversial always had
they end up being longer.
Well, sometimes you have the risk because, well, first off, they stretch, right? You know, like you know, pad it out. Wait, we got a half hour for that.
Right.
Let's
do
it. Right?
Yeah.
But the other thing too is that if you don't have something substantial to argue over, they will sometimes choose something really petty to argue over, and those arguments go on longer.
Well, you know what went on really long last night was the parking in the driveway one.
I don't know why people get so worked up about that.
Well, it was
then again,
too many that got worked
if I had a driveway, maybe I'd care.
No, well, it was more something about having signs, and if you didn't have signs, and I don't know. It just seems like common sense.
Well, only
respond to complaints, and if you actually.
But what what made that sort of problematic was that the law basically says you're not supposed to park in front of driveways.
Period. Right.
But the practice is the city is not going to come down on you for parking in front of your
unless
own driveway.
Unless somebody complains.
Unless it's complaint driven. Right. So I said, well, that's kind of good. I like that.
Because if you live there and you have someone you know that parked there, you're not going to complain.
Yeah. I always think of Ken Reeves when we talk about this because there was a time when people were talking about, well, we need to jack up the cost of the meters. We have to do this and we have to do that and we have to crack down on this and that. And Ken would get up there and say, this isn't the city I want to live in. I want to live in a kind and friendly city that allows things and forgives a little bit whatever.
That's
and I kind of agree with them. And so for example, on Inman Street in front of St. Mary's, when on Sunday it clearly says no parking, no standing. On Sunday
they let it go.
They let it go.
Right.
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 There's other places where that happens as well, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
And so if you park in front of your own driveway because you have one too many guests or something,
right.
They go,
and you're trying to save,
okay.
not
Let
take up a space for other people. That was the argument.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you start getting obnoxious, I suppose they could start enforcing the law. But I kind of like selective enforcement.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
And, you know, and honestly, I would extend it to a lot of other places that a lot of the other intolerant people would not do. Like, for example, as I pointed out, if you're driving that big truck full of steel and you have to pull out to let traffic go by and you temporarily are in a bike lane, I kind of think maybe we ought to be okay with that a little bit.
It's hard to, I don't know how people get things done around here with the trucks, I mean, deliveries. I mean, it's there's a problem there.
Life in the big city.
I mean, if you want the goods delivered, if you want stuff delivered, they have to use trucks.
Yeah. You know, and it's great to have laws, and we like having laws. But the thing is that you also have to be able to bend a little and acknowledge a little bit of gray area, you know, based on people being reasonable.
Mm.
You know? It's a concept.
So what else struck your fancy there? I noticed.
All right,
so one thing
I got to kick out of. So I always do my sort of snarky comments, which I do.
Was this about the $67,000?
Yeah. You know, listen, in the end, it's totally reasonable, but. Okay, so Eversource, you know, they screwed up over on Gore Street.
Is that what happened?
And I think they damaged the roots of a stately old oak tree, pin oak tree, on Gore Street, which then had to be subsequently removed. And it was pretty traumatic for a lot of people to lose it. But then, you know, they said, well, all right, so you screwed up. How are you going to compensate for this? So they brought in an appraiser and they appraised the tree.
Well, it's not the total is $67,000,
right,
but I think
exactly.
It's broken
it's
down.
About,
still,
it's about $61,000 appraisal for the tree. And I thought, well, you know, maybe that's accurate. I don't know, but
that's including putting it in and all. Because I've heard of a full-grown tree is $20,000. No,
Well, but the thing is, not a full size tree.
The ones that Harvard put in that new plaza. It's
probably like that. But the thing is, this is a lot bigger, I think.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it's on the order of about $60,000 for doing this. The appraisers seem to have been rather well paid too, I might add. Hey, I should change professions.
You saw the breakdown of the figure. Yeah. No, there was a lot of. Yeah.
Right. But I thought, my gosh, is this going to become a topic of like a talking point? Because there's another order here, saying, well, we got to step it up and schedule a hearing of to talk about a tree ordinance. So to regulate trees on private property.
Right.
Which I think has merit. I think.
To some extent.
There's right ways and wrong ways to do this.
If you have a rotten tree, you should be able to take it down without.
Right, and you don't want to have to be, if you're like the person on the street that has a neighbor or somebody who is a political opponent who decides to go to a hearing to sort of bust your chops.
Yeah, that's true, that could happen.
So, it's, yeah. I mean, who has standing and this is going to be an issue to me? But, will we now have a discussion come next spring or in December when they start talking about possible tree ordinances, where they say, well, sir, apparently by removing that tree in your yard, you realize that thing's worth about $70,000.
Oh.
So you should compensate the city for the loss of canopy to the, listen.
Oh, I see where you're taking that.
Listen,
oh, wow.
I wouldn't put it past them, now that you put a number to a 40-inch caliper tree is $67,000. I mean, where is this going to go, right?
Wow.
So anyway, it was interesting. I got a kick out of it. Of course, the thing that made it funny, and I think maybe Quentin Zondervan may have read my snarky comments because I had said, I just want to know, because the amount was $67,179.02. I said, why the 2 cents?
Yeah, who puts 2 cents? You round it off.
Anyway, Quentin followed up with that.
Yeah.
I
thought that was funny.
And I think Kathy Watkins, city engineer, said, well, maybe in retrospect, we could have rounded it off.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was all right. Probably.
So what got charter right? The charter right was from last week, right? About the tree?
Yeah, so there were two things that were made subject to the charter right,
right.
In 2 weeks ago, actually.
Right.
One had to do with that overlay proposal, which Jan Devereaux exercised her charter right, brought it on. It was about just scheduling, asking
the
for
affordable
a
housing, that was charter right too. They have, asking just for the timeline, which.
Right. So they did. They voted it.
They were against her and Zondervan.
6-2-1. So it was Jan Devereaux and Quentin Zondervan voted against even asking for the timeline.
Which wouldn't
for
have
it.
Even. I didn't get that. That just seemed like.
Well, I think it's what they're doing is they were signaling the fact that they have some real serious reservations
with
this.
People are not happy with this thing as it is.
And in spite of what the mayor said about, no, this is just asking for a timeline. I'm sorry, that's crap, because the truth is that we've had a lot of zoning ordinance changes over the years. Nobody asks, give us a timeline for what we exactly have to do and when in order to do the implementation. Hmm. You only do that when, in fact, you are just basically trying to plot out the strategy to make sure it goes through.
So you think it was
pass,
though.
Yeah. But it's not an action item in any serious way. It just says, do you have to do this by December and then this by January and do this by that or whatever, right?
Right, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
And then the one was about the ordinance for trees or? Right. What happened to that one? Did that get, I think that got agreed.
Right here. Right. Yeah. So that'll proceed. I think there are people. I think it might have been Denise Simmons who raised issues about that at the previous meeting. That's not even a proposed tree ordinance at this point. It's just a potential tree ordinance, and it does exist in other cities. So it's not an outrageously weird idea, but it does get us close to that sort of friction line having to do with property rights.
Yeah.
By the way, there was one thing that I heard from a neighbor. My neighbor Helen, who pointed out there was it's actually when Jim Browdy was a city councilor.
Ooh,
so
years ago.
Man, time flies.
Yeah.
So back then, which was like 18 years ago, there was a big controversy. Speaking of trees, because there was a tulip tree on Cambridge Street, very close to Fayette Street, where a person, Rachel Faith, I think was her name, chained herself to the tree.
Oh dear.
And there was a dentist's or a dental, I don't know, whatever, it was an office right next door. Yeah. They wanted to get rid of the tree because it was, as it had grown, it had sort of cut into the width of the driveway.
Okay.
So she just wanted it gone. But the thing is the tree was centrally rooted at the neighboring property. So apparently the neighbor tried to like whack at it or drive copper nails into Ooh. It to do it harm. Or else would want to just have it removed. And it turned into a huge controversy. City councilors were going over there.
I don't remember that.
Forget exactly what kind of votes. But anyway, the tree stayed and stayed and stayed. Well, I think maybe this past week from, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently, tree's gone.
What, just this past week?
I believe so.
Was it dead?
Yeah. It wasn't dead, but the thing is that, and you know, Helen actually said that he was invited to sort of step inside it. It was all completely hollowed out. Oh. It had become diseased internally.
Sounds
so
dead
the way it
to
goes.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, sounds beyond its prime.
Right. Well, you know, it's actually, speaking of trees is sort of the big political topic of this year now, officially.
Well,
right? That and overlays, right?
Overlays.
Yeah. So
bicycles, what do you
last year.
True.
It'll be back because there are zealots. But the thing is that there was another related matter where they were doing some aerial views and showing how the tree canopy of the city has been declining some.
Right.
And people say, well, that's because evil people are coming in cutting down trees. And that's to some degree maybe so. But also, most of the trees that have been lost have been on residential properties. And as Owen O'Riordan, Commissioner of Public Works, pointed out, a lot of them were just, what he says, is aging out. So the thing is if there was a great growth of trees back when a lot of residential development happened in the, you know, within the past century, many of those trees, the older trees especially, the one with a lot of foliage, are also 80 and 90 years old.
Is that the lifespan of a tree?
Depends on the tree, you know.
And I guess in a city, it might have a hard time surviving.
You know, there was an interesting thing, and I wouldn't read too much into this, but on Fayette Street near my house, there was 1 year or 2 year period where it seemed like every month or two, another tree just came down and knocked out all the electric lines.
Wow.
One after another after another. And, you know, there were two big ones were right in front of the same house, and I think it's just that they both ate, as Owen says, they aged out. It wasn't because of gas, you know, natural gas leaks
that
were killing the roots.
Some people will say that, though. How do you know it wasn't?
I don't think it was. I just think there would have been a little bit of evidence about that. I think it was
rot
and whatnot, you know. So,
yeah.
Another thing that happened was that for the longest time, the city had brick sidewalks that were pretty porous because it was just basically bricks laid in sand and just tapped together. And then ADA requirements required putting in an underlay that was rigid and basically non-permeable. And then the bricks would lay onto a firm foundation. It also cut off the ability of water to infiltrate in to support a lot of street trees. So I think there's been a measurable decline in some of the street trees. And also a greater difficulty of new street trees to even get established because of this.
Well, I know, because there's always a complaint about that. You plant all these trees, but then no one's watering, or they die. I don't know what the story
is. You know, you're in kind
that.
Of an unsustainable situation. Yeah. See, I told you this is the year of trees. Right? it's an unsustainable situation where now what they're saying is, okay, if you plant a street tree, you know, in the strip between sidewalk and street, because everything is so sealed up, it almost becomes necessary for human intervention
to
get
water
in there.
Yeah, right.
They don't simply get naturally watered
right,
when it rains.
Right, it's all paved. Yeah.
Right, water scoots away after a rain. It doesn't get retained. You know, so I think the city really does have to come up with a pretty substantial new policy for how they design streets so that rain does get a chance to
infiltrate. Also, aren't there certain kinds of trees that can survive better with less water?
Yeah, so you'll have to basically
make
some decisions.
Maybe they're already doing that. I don't know.
I think they are. The arborist is no fool.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in the choice of street trees in particular locations, they're being very mindful of the conditions.
Right.
You know, and so it goes, you know. But I have to say I'm not alarmed by the loss of canopy because, you know, these things can be renewed. I just think we have to be thoughtful about why and what the causes are. And if it turns out it's just aging out, let's just start planting some new trees.
Yeah.
You know, and do it the right way.
Yeah.
So
dog parks.
Dog parks. Okay.
That came up. That was an order by, I guess, Councillor Mallon.
Yeah. And by the way, I've known people who have run as city council candidates in the past.
Yeah.
Who basically got the list of everybody who got a dog license because they felt it was a strong political constituency to work.
Oh my gosh.
So it happened. People know that, you know.
Yeah, I guess you go where the votes are, huh?
Well, you know, it's like farming, you know. You sort of go, you survey the fields and say, what crops shall we plant here?
I don't know. All right, so that...
So I think it was Alana Mallon and Simple Siddiqui had suggested that there's a little piece of the library park.
It was the mid-Cambridge, Right, of the library park, and where they're already using it, sort of not, you know.
Yeah, there's kind of an area that's not as well utilized. It's kind of behind where the playground area is.
Right, but the argument...
Over the garage.
That's where they want it? Near the playground?
I think that's right. It's
why would you want it near the playground?
Because it's over the underground garage, and the thing is, it's not a place, because there are no trees over there, because they can't...
But it's a small space, isn't it?
It's actually not that small.
All right, I'm confused because I heard that and I thought,
Yeah, and it's actually essentially enclosed or virtually enclosed. So
well, they'd have to do more enclosure.
Yeah, right. So, but the thing is, it's sort of there. If that's a somewhat underutilized part of the park, then maybe it's a good idea, maybe not. I think it offended a few people because apparently notification about the idea was not made to an existing committee that's...
Yeah, something about... Yeah, and then the clerk said that... the community development said, well, we get this list of who to notify, and the Cambridge neighborhood wasn't on the list, but
somebody
it's
was
not
saying,
right
like,
in the middle.
Right, they contacted some neighborhood groups in the port, which is nowhere near the park.
Yeah, somehow.
Apparently, not the
mid-Cambridge
group.
I think that got charter righted so that they can
go back
and say, why isn't that? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was a new person working in the clerk's office. May have flubbed it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, we all flubbed
it. Well, they say it came from community development, who they tell them to send it out. So it could have been passing the buck, whatever.
Yeah. Now, another thing that was on the agenda was something that I have kind of mixed feelings about we have right now. If you haven't voted yet, you can do early voting for the state election.
Have you?
I don't do early voting myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was tempted, but I think I'm so into the ritual of going on election day because it's right down the street from my house.
That's right.
So I just, on election morning, I wait till the crowds are gone and
they have a bake sale too at the Morris, I think. So
we don't have that. We're
no, you don't. You're an election commission.
Yeah,
so
Cambridge isn't nearly as much fun as Cambridge.
Well, you don't. It's not a school. You go to the election commission, don't you?
No, actually, I go to the City Hall Annex.
Well, that's the city, right. They're not
where there are people already lining, or actually not quite yet, but they will soon be lining up to get their resident stickers.
That annual crazy ritual. Yeah.
All right, but it gets most fun come January.
Oh, yeah, that's when they line up,
But anyway, so I'm going to vote on Election Day, but the thing is, it's happening now. This is the second week of early voting. All right, so because of that, this isn't the first time the idea has
been floated. No, it's been brought up a lot.
But they came in and said, well, why don't we do that for the municipal elections? Hmm. And I said, well, first off, as much as you would love to have the voter turnout be like 60,000 people in municipal elections, it's just not true. It's like in the 20s, right?
Well, it was high.
It was higher, but the thing is, even with the increase in voter turnout in the municipal election last year, it's still relatively small compared to state elections and certainly compared to presidential elections.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not like there's long lines for municipal elections. I don't think I've ever seen a long line or even much of a line.
Well, it's not so much the line issue, it's only that one day you can do it.
It's only that one day, but it's not really.
You can do absentee.
You can do absentee, right. So anyway, so I think, it's sort of a little bit of feel-goodism here let's do this for municipal elections because, after all, anybody who would even raise any objections must obviously not believe in democracy. No, come on, let's get serious.
But it does require a home rule petition.
Right. The thing is there's no provision under state law to do this. And that was what the first ask came back with, was said, well, the city solicitor says, well, you can't do it
because
there's no provision under state law to allow it. But if you file the home rule petition, maybe you could do it. Right. Now, one thing it was actually Jan Devereaux clarified, and I was grateful for, she said that the home rule petition they're asking for would give city Cambridge, but she's also doing it in conjunction with City of Boston.
Yeah, Zakim and the Boston City Council also are, they said if they do it together, it might be more forceful.
Get a bit of rise out of the legislature. Yeah. But the thing is that it would not dictate the 10 days of early voting that we have. It would basically go back to the Election Commission, give them the power to do it.
Oh.
And then if they wanted to do 10 days, you know, in 5 locations, they could do it.
What if they wanted to just do
a
week ahead in 4 locations?
They could do that.
Yeah.
Or they could.
So it leaves it up to the. It just gives them the right to change it.
Yeah. When I heard that, I thought, all right, that's not so bad. I mean, that's sort of like a compromise between absentee voting, which you can do now.
Yeah.
I like the idea of having kind of no questions asked absentee voting. I mean, you don't have to have an excuse. You just say, I want to do it.
Is that the way it is now?
I think it is.
I think you can just go in as soon as the ballot's available. Right, you're right.
It didn't used to be.
So there's.
You have to say, no, I have to be out of town, and I'll swear on a stack of Bibles I'm out of town.
And it's not that hard to get to the Election Commission. Right. It's right in the middle
of town. So this, I just think that the proposal is a little bit of a, it's just sort of compromise between expanded absentee voting and something else. But,
Doesn't hurt to ask, I
guess. Doesn't hurt to ask, I mean, if it runs up if the cost runs up substantially, then I will have questions
about bring that up, because the state now pays.
The state reimburses for it, because it was a state mandate.
Is it 100% reimbursement?
To say you have to do it. I think it is, yeah.
All right, where in municipal, it's us.
It's all on us, And people say, well, there's no large, there's no cost to issue at all. This is democracy.
Well, some people would say the Election Commission can afford it.
Come on.
I don't know.
No, I mean,
I have no idea.
You do things efficiently. I think that's the main thing. Anyway, okay. I don't think it was. I think it breezed through. I don't think it was one question from Craig Kelly about, if there are 34 precincts, if you don't have 34 early polling locations, maybe that'll give a bias, right?
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's actually something worth considering.
Yeah,
so.
All right, we'll see where it goes.
So anyway, we've got to take a break here as we take a hike and celebrate the Red Sox.
Okay.